sole brief partner today. I needed someone to help with my dear wife, and she needed a nap real bad. And so Ori, who normally goes with Bree, I said, I need some help. And thank you, because that gives me an opportunity to be free to do the things I need to do at the funeral. Thank you for your kindness at the funeral. It means an awful lot to people just to be there. You ladies and men that made food, and that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I hope that you will remember that and hope that you will you will receive a blessing from it. I believe you will. Take your Bible tonight and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I want to talk to you about pneumatology. All that is study of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking of these gentlemen that are leaving us in a season here. And I was thinking how important it is for them to have the Holy Spirit working in their heart and their life. They're going to go in some difficult areas. Not only that, not only do they need help, but they also their wives need help, and their children need help during this time. And we're just praying that God would certainly be with them, and God would help them during this time. I know that Austin is going to be faced with some new opportunities in his life and new challenges, and he's going to find out who he really is. And we need to pray for this young man. We love him to death. He's part of our family. And how many of you went through boot camp? Would you raise your hand? Austin, stand up and turn around. Just keep your hands up. Wave your hand way up. I went to boot camp. All right? See all these people? They're not dead. How many of you ever cursed at? Would you raise your hand? Look around. See, yeah. How many of you felt that you were demeaned? They were demeaning to you? Yeah. So you remember, you are who you are. And you are a young gentleman. And just do your business. And do it right. Do it proper. And read your Bible and say your prayers. And when you got a chance. And I know sometimes that. How many found it very hard to get a chance to read your Bible? Raise your hand. Look at this. All of them. Yeah. How about praying? Oh, did it all the time. Amen. So let's continue to pray for our Austin. And we're proud of you. Amen. You can do it. You're a good man. In fact, you got his deer yesterday. So and leave these alone over here, will you? I know it's hunting season, but leave those three bucks alone. Actually, there's four. So leave them alone. We got pictures of them again tonight. So I'm telling you, leave my Bambi alone. All right. You go out in the woods and get them, amen. That's like, I love shooting rabbits, but not at my house. Don't you get after my rabbits. They're my little pets, amen. All right. Let's stand and read John chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. John 16, verse 7. I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the most amazing thing. This is the thing that energizes us. This is the thing that gives us power from God, the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you some points here. I think it'll help you. I'll be very short tonight. But I hope that you'll get it and just figure it out some things in the Bible. The Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, Jesus has said, it's better for me to go away than for me to stay. I question that many times. I question that. But Jesus said it, then it's true. Amen? He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the one that sticketh closer to you than a brother. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. I'm not talking about blankets you put on at night when it gets cold. I'm talking about one who walks with you and talks with you. One who convicts you. One who comforts you. One who guides you. One who reveals even the future to you and reminds us of Christ teaching to us. And he abides with us and he empowers us to do his service. Then he sanctifies us. I mean, he sets us apart. And also he helps us to produce fruit. So he says, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Did Jesus depart? 50 days later, after he rose, 40 days later, after he rose from the grave, he went out to the hill, and all of a sudden, he was gone. And you remember the angel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Christ is going away. He's going to come back the same way. Amen. But while he's away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he is going to reprove people of their sin because they believe, Jesus said this, not on me. It's a pretty bad deal when you don't believe in Jesus. Amen. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. What? Now, Jesus is speaking to disciples. Remember, he had just told him he's going to go away. And then verse chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house and many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Then in the chapter 15, he talks about how he is the true vine. And we're the branches. We need to abide with the vine. And then he tells us that the world is going to hate us because of him. Going to hate us because of him. And then he gives the words of warning. And then chapter 16, here he goes. He says, and how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, what? Guide you. I like guides. I like somebody who's been there before. I like somebody to sit down and talk to me. I like, you know, for instance, there should have been some people talk to us and say, this is what's going to, boot camp is going to be like. You know what they're doing? They're giving some guidance. Because his DI is not... He'll give them some real guidance. Amen. He'll say your mother wears combat boots and all them other things. But anyway. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. Father, I pray you'd help us as we look into the Word of God tonight. May it be encouragement to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, verse 8, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. He'll convict the sinner. How many of you are convicted of sin? Yeah, all of us. Some of you say, well, I don't raise my hand if people don't think I'm anything. No, you're sinners. When I was at camp, I was teaching my kids. I said, now, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what are you? And they say, anybody remember? Dirty, rotten sinner. Man, I had them hollering and screaming that. Then I'd say, the Bible says that once a person accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he is to be what? He's to be what? Talk to me. Be baptized. And if you haven't got baptized since you got saved, you're a what?
Dirty, rotten sinner.
Yeah, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Amen. And I said, when you don't belong to a church and God said we're supposed to belong to church, what are you? Dirty, rotten sinner. When God tells you to tithe your 10% and you don't bring your 10% to church, what are you? You some of your powder puffs out there, amen. Yeah. If you fail to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, every time the church doors open, what are you? Well, we got biblical principles about that, amen. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, the manner of some is, isn't that what the Bible said? Yeah. Yeah. So you can really use that, you know, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, amen. So somebody said something to one of the kids, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. No, I said, no, you're supposed to say, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, amen. But anyway, so Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes and convicts my heart of my sins. I'm telling you, I'm looking so forward to going to heaven. Because when I hit heaven's gate no more, am I going to say, God, I am so ashamed of myself. God, forgive me of being so stupid, so pig-headed, so bull-headed, you know, like you pray, amen. And, you know, that's there. God, I'm sorry I made someone to think that I was going to do something, or made somebody think that this is what I meant, but it wasn't what I meant. Lord, I was lying there. The Holy Spirit comes, and it's good for us because He cleanses us. He said, hey, bud, take care of that. Hey, you, in your heart, He said, now, way back in there, you know better than that. And the Holy Spirit comes to us. Verse 8, it says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So thank God the Holy Spirit, number one, the Holy Spirit reproves or convicts the sinner. Number two, verse 7, He's come to be a comforter. Some would comfort you today. So somebody put their arm around you and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Does somebody come and comfort you? Well, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. I don't need anybody else in this world to comfort me if I have the Holy Spirit of God to comfort me. Amen? Isn't that true? Now, of course, it is nice when someone comes up and says, hey, brother, I love you. I was thinking about Brother Rick today. Man, what a blessing, what a help he was to me at the funeral today. And, you know, I just said a couple things and doing that. Ori, I called her up and said, Jenny, she said, I'll do it, man. Well, that comforted my heart that I knew that there's someone that I could call to help, have help me. What a blessing help. Isn't it wonderful to be comforted? How about you wives? Isn't it nice that when your husband comes home and you can spew all your, what's the word for it? What was that? Spew all your love? Oh, you might have got a great wife there, amen. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and he said, yeah, I talked to someone that's going through cancer, and she said, I got on the phone, and I said, how you doing? And she said, she just opened up and just spewed a whole bunch of things, and there's people in her family that were telling her that she's not that tired, and that people are bringing her gifts, and they don't need to bring those gifts. And she said, I just vented. And she said, this gal vented for about 30 minutes, and she just went through a divorce and all kinds of stuff, that this guy was just a pure jerk. He doesn't even deserve to be on this face of this earth. Well, how he treated her. Now she has cancer. And she says to this gal, she says, I'm no one to talk to. I have no one to talk to. Well, let me tell you, you do have somebody to talk to. You have the Holy Spirit of God. And He'll comfort you. And He'll put His loving arms around about you. And when the troubles come and the heartaches come, He is there to say, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yes, it is. There's a lot of troubles in this whole world. A lot of problems. So we comfort our loved one. We comfort our children. They come home from school and they didn't wear just the right kind of clothes, and they didn't, that's just something was just not right. You know, kids are very, very careful about what they wear now because it's the going thing, and they got to do it. If they don't, they're smeared and they're how it is. Well, that kid comes home, he needs someone to put his arm around and say, "Hey, I love you, honey, no matter what. No matter what. Let's see if we can fix something out here. Let's take care of you." Amen. So the comforter. Verse 13, it says, he is also not only is he convicts the sinner and he is the comforter, but he guides us into the truth. When something comes down the pike and you're really not sure about that, you're really not really sure about what's going on, he guides you in the truth. Now, of course, it's pretty hard for the Holy Spirit to, the old saying, giggle, garbage in, garbage out. If you don't put the right things into your computer, you can't get the right things out of your computer. If you don't put the right things in your mind, you can't get the right things out of your mind. If you don't take this Bible and cram it into your brain and get it to the point in your life that you can quote scriptures and things that are going on in your life, it's pretty hard the Holy Spirit to remind you of those things that He has already given you. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why? Because when you read the Word of God, it fills us and it energizes us and gets us to serve God better. And then all of a sudden, when something comes by that we're not sure it's the truth or not, this is our principle of faith and practice. This is what I live by. This is what you ought to live by. Number four, he reveals the future. That was kind of interesting to me. Verse 13, look at it here, the last part of it says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit says, I'll show you. Hey, is there some things in your life that you might need to know what may come down the pike? How about raising your kids? Is that an awesome job or what? Is that a huge thing or not? Do you need help raising your kids? Yeah. Holy Spirit said, I'll be there. I will help you. I will guide you. I will reveal the future to you. You see some things and attitude in your children. Boy, you see something, and the kid kind of going like this. You want to get them back in, amen? You say, but Pastor, I tried that all my life, and my kid just went back. Well, you got to remember one thing. You got to remember a child has a free will. They can do whatever they want to do. You know you can. Some of you folks who just got out of your teenage years, you know you can do anything you want. It's amazing. My boys, when we get together, now they start telling me about stuff. The other night, Corey was talking to Casey, and they were talking and laughing back and forth. And Casey says, you know, Corey, I got to tell you something that's really bothering me. And I'm going, oh, no, what's going on? He says, you remember your motorcycle, that 250 motorcycle of yours? Yeah. He says, you remember that Odyssey that we borrowed from Roy and Carol? Yeah. Well, I ran out of gas a lot of times, but I just took gas out of your motorcycle tank. And Corey goes, you dirty bum, you. Well, I said, I didn't have any money. You know, and they start laughing and everything about that, you know. And I thought, oh, my, the things that our kids do, you know, that, oh, brother, are just some things that you really don't want to know about, right? But, brother, I promise you, when they get 20 and 30, they will reveal to you, amen. Also, he reminds us of Christ's teaching. John 14 and 26, the Bible says of the Holy Spirit, 14:26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So how do I get to know the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? I read my Bible. May I challenge you today? How many have a red-lettered Bible? In other words, all the words that Jesus spoke in red. My suggestion this week is just read those words. Just read all the... Let's have a red letter week, okay? And just go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you don't have a Bible like that, they're pretty easy to come by. Just read all the words of Jesus. Don't read, like, all right, verse 22. Judas saith unto him, don't read that. Read, if a man love me, verse 23, he will keep my word. Just read the things of Jesus. That'd be a great idea. But because the Holy Spirit says, I will bring back to your remembrance what Jesus said to you. Well, it's pretty hard for him to bring back to your remembrance if you don't even know what Jesus said. Y'all listen to me tonight. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Yep. Holy Spirit is here to help us. But he can't help us if we don't put a little bit of elbow grease. I don't know what that means. When my Jim will probably tell me in a couple minutes here. Or somebody's on there already now talking to. It's called Siri, right? I call it Sherry. Put the buttons. Sherry, what does it say? One time I did it and said, what'd you call me? But anyway. Reminds us of Christ's teaching. Number six, to abide in the believer. He promised to abide with us. Hey, we're never alone. Hey, Austin, you're not going to be alone. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit lives within you. When you go to boot camp, God is there with you. Hey, Brian, when you're over there, you're not alone. Andrew, you're not alone. Aaron, you're not alone. You're not alone. He's there. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He promises that. Mike, you're not alone. Aaron, you're not alone. God has promised you that you'll never be alone. Also, he promised to empower us for Christian service. He gives us wisdom to do the things for God. You ever kind of look at something and you wonder, how in the world can I tell somebody about Jesus Christ and all of a sudden it comes? It just comes to you and you start talking to somebody. He promised to empower us for Christian service. He'll nudge us for certain things to be done at the church. He'll nudge us for certain things to do in the ministry of the church. He nudges us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit upon our life. And also, He sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15:16, Romans 15:16, it says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that God has given in me. Verse 16, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified. That's the old English word, just means to be set apart. This pulpit right here is sanctified. It's set apart to preach the word of God. That piano, that organ, set apart to good, godly, God-honoring music. I had a guy come to me today, and he says, you know, he's from Columbia Falls. Yeah, Columbia Falls. And he says, man, I can't tell you what it was to come into your church and hear that God-honoring music. He said, I am sick and tired of what they've got in churches today. He said, I want nothing like that. He said, man, we came in, we fell at home, the music was great. Boy, that's the kind of church we like to go to. And it happened to be Fern Gibbons' friends, Divorce. They said that they went to church in Great Falls a while back, and he said they have just crumbled. And he said there's a family at that church in Great Falls have been a member for 50 years, and he finally, 2 weeks ago, said, I'm out of this. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me just pull over and park here for a minute and put my safety flashers on, all right? Hey, you know what? Heritage Baptist Church is going to stay the same way Heritage Baptist Church. Same kind of music. Same kind of preaching. Same kind of Bible. And we're not changing that. Not going to do it. If you don't like that, there are plenty of churches in town that will offer you country and western music on Sunday morning. They'll offer you front stage music. They'll offer you honky-tonk music. They'll offer you rock music. Man, they'll have smoke and fire and brimstone and everything else going on. If you want that, I don't want you to see you go. But if you think that glorifies the Almighty God of heaven, then you need to go there. But I think I've got enough ammunition in this Bible where the Bible said that we are to separate ourselves from the works of evil. Now, let me just one more time. I'm hearing, and I'm not from yet you, but I'm hearing that people are going to go see the war room. Bless God, you don't go to the theater. Are you kidding me? It'll be on TV before you know it. You don't go down here to the movie theater and pay money to go see that thing. Because what? Where's that money go? Go to Hollywood. You say, but that's not how the world will move. Yeah, I know, but they have to pay. And when you go in there, you're paying money to the Hollywood people because that's what that theater is all about. You say, preacher, I've never heard such a thing. Well, I just want you to know where I'm at. You know, I don't want you to be scratching in the back of your head wondering where this old preacher stands. I'm against it. I'm against you women running around looking like half-naked people. I'm against that. I think you ladies ought to look like pretty ladies. And men, you ought to look like men. And your boys and your girls ought to look like they didn't just climb out of the closet, that they couldn't find any clothes and don't look like they just fell head first in your daddy's tackle box and got all stuff all over their face. What's wrong with us? He said, preacher, I'm telling you, it's sad and where we're headed today. It's sad. And it breaks my heart. And lovingly, I will come to you and say, hey, brother, I love you, but we're not going to sing that kind of music at our church. I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be mean. But I think that there is a testimony that we need to uphold. There's a lot of church in town. Their testimony is big rock bands. They're the guys that about blew the earballs off everybody in Great Falls when they had the downpour. We shouldn't be there. The Bible said that we Christians are going to be peculiar. I don't mean weird, but it says we will be peculiar. That means we're different than the world. And the Holy Spirit, according to God, where the Holy Spirit will keep us straight if we stay in the book. Because He promises to be with us and to teach us those things that Jesus would teach. He said, boy, you're tough. No, I'm not. I don't like the way the people turn out. I don't like that 40% of Christian people are having babies illegitimately. 40%. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about it's against the Bible to have a relationship before you're married. And oh, the troubles and the sorrows that it brings. It's going to kill your daddy. It's going to kill your mama. It's going to embarrass your brother. It's going to embarrass your sister. Good night. Somebody ought to wake up and say, hey, that's not so. That's not right. They tell me right now the divorce rate in Christian homes today is greater than in the world. I don't know where they get these fixes, but I just... You got a problem, you ought to take care of it. I've never seen a family yet that didn't have some kind of problem. And I've never seen a God that didn't have a solution for it. Most of it's just selfishness. Most of it is just that we want our way. We're not teams anymore. We're individuals, they tell us. An individual should deserve what he wants. Well, that's not the way it happens at my home. There's a lot of things I want. I see young kids, they think that they ought to have all the stuff that old people have. I was just 64 years old before I got my first motorcycle. 64 years I waited for that stinking thing. And I'm still alive and well, amen. How many are at the marriage retreat or the husband and wife retreat? How many are there? I tell you what, I'm not gonna have Roy Moffat back. He cussed about motorcycles the whole time. But do you know what he does? You know what his leisure is? He's a boxer. A boxer. He gets punched. And punched and punched week after week. And he complained about me riding a motorcycle? That guy's out of his mind. Anyway. It also produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. And it also provides the gift of the Spirit. Oh, folks, read about the Holy Spirit. We're not to pray to the Holy Spirit. We're to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember who gave us the Holy Spirit? God, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And in our prayer time, we ought to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending me the Holy Spirit to remind me of my sins, to remind me of my responsibility to live a sanctified life in this world. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving and empowering me by the Holy Spirit. That's really what it is. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to say anything about me. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about God. Isn't that incredible? And he promised you. Father, thank you for the promises of heaven. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who comes and lives within us at the moment of salvation. What an incredible thing that we would have Jesus, we'd have God living within us, living in our heart, we may say, in the innermost being of our soul. Dear God, would you do a great work in our heart that we would pray, Lord Jesus, that you would send the Holy Spirit in such a great and miraculous way that our lives would be changed, that we would want to walk close to you? Oh, Jesus, you said that if you did not go away, we would miss the Comforter. But, Lord, you went away. Disciples saw you. They testified and saw you going up into heaven. And the angel testified and said that this same Jesus who's gone away will come back again the same way. And Lord Jesus, you sent Holy Spirit of God upon those apostles. 10 days later, after your time that you went to heaven, the places were shaken. The power of God was upon them. These men spoke in their languages so that other people could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own hometown. Lord, we ask you that you'd help us to be careful as Christians to beg the Holy Spirit of you that we may live a godly and a righteous life in a terrible, wicked world. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand right now and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I need the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit of God. I want God's power upon my life. I want to be more than I am today. Would you right there where you're sitting say, oh, God, Jesus, would you send me the Holy Spirit in a great way and help me live a godly life before this world? Why don't you just beg him to do that? Holy Spirit that comes to us through Jesus, I pray, Jesus, that you would just give us a change of heart and change of attitude in our life. Realize that we're never alone. Realize that you're there to convict us. You're there to show us the things that may be coming, that we would be ready. Lord, thank you for all you've given to us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved.
I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven.
But I'd like to know that tonight. Why don't you just step out and come down this aisle and get saved? Maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? I'll be up front. You come. You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. We want to join here. Why don't you come at this time?